Here in Bhimavaram is an ancient temple of Lord Shiva. It is called the Shiva Linga is Someshwar Mahadev. Is called Someshwara because this Shivlinga was installed personally by Soma, the moon god. And the present temple was established 1800 years ago. Now, the special feature of that Shivlinga is that on the Amavasya day, the linga is quite dark, means black-brown color. But gradually, the linga becomes lighter color, so that by Purnima, he's almost whitish. So like that. With the waxing and waning of the moon, the linga darkens and lightens in color. There's also another important Shiva temple close to that called Bhimeshwar Swami temple, after which this town is named. Avaram means Bhima Avaram, Avaram, Varam. Varam means, can mean bone, yeah. Bhima Ramam. And Ramam? Ramam means? Bhima's comfortable. Bhima's resting. And why is it called that? Oh, I see. There are the... There are five temples of Lord Shiva which they're called the Pancharamas. I see. So this is one of them. Okay. There's no proper temple of Lord Vishnu in this town. So something should be done about that. So anyway, as this town is called Bhimavaram, I thought to speak about Pandava Bhima. We say Pandava Bhima because actually there have been many Bhimas. Both before Pandava Bhima, who's also known as Bhima Sen, and after him, there have been many persons called Bhima. Because it's a suitable name for a Kshatriya. And it means the same as Bhishma, which means terrible. So, I'll speak about Bhima, some different leelas of Bhima. And I'm just presuming that you all know these stories and that we're just going over them to recap, to remind ourselves of the glories of this great devotee. In the Gurukul, you can teach the children all these different incidents from Mahabharata. Generally, people tend to think of Bhima as some kind of a ruffian. Ruffian means something like a gunda, I guess you could say. As some kind of wild person, gluttonous, somewhat simple-minded. Simple-minded means not very intelligent. But actually he's a great devotee of Krishna. And to portray him as anything less is actually an offense. Just like in drama in India, generally Narada Muni is presented as some kind of clown. But that's an offensive misrepresentation. So Bhima, he may appear to be rough, it's not exactly bhayanka. Rough means to be somewhat somewhat violent and also not very cultured. But certainly he is fearsome to the non-devotees, to the demons in particular. But that is required to protect the devotees. So, in the Madhva Sampradaya especially, Bhima is venerated. And they emphasize that Hanuman, who came in Treta Yuga to serve Lord Ram, came as Bhima in Dwarapa Yuga to serve Lord Krishna, and again came as Madhvacharya to serve the mission of Lord Krishna in Kali Yuga. So in the Madhva Sampradaya, some qualities of Bhim have been enumerated. Beginning with bhakti, Vishnu bhakti. That's the first and greatest quality that anyone can have. Knowledge. It's not, actually we'll see that many times Bhima in Mahabharata, he's speaking and clearly he's not a simpleton as some people presume him to be. And non-attachment to anything material. Yeah, intellect, that's not exactly the same as knowledge. Yeah, knowledge means jnana and intellect means buddhi. Apprehension, which I guess in this context means presence of mind. You know what that means? It means like in Hindi, I guess you'd say something like in Hindi, hoshiari. Something like that. Right. He's tuned into the situation. He's not some armchair philosopher. Steadfastness. Steadfastness means fixity of purpose, remaining fixed in one's purpose. Sthairyam, that word comes in Bhagavad Gita. Sthairyam atma vinigraha. Sthirata. Then similar one, invariableness, which means, yeah, it's a similar word. That the quality of invariableness is spoken of by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Eke Hakuru Nandana. Then attachment to Hari. Vitality. Viryata. Yeah. Might of spirit and arms. That means he's very high spirited. Sfurti, you'd say in Hindi. And might, physical, obviously that's one of his most famous qualities, is physical strength. He had mental strength to go along with his physical strength. What I was saying about Hanuman, Bhima and Madhva is in the Madhva Sampradaya they emphasize that these are all avatars of Vayudev. So just as Vayu has all these qualities, so does Bhima. So, in the Mahabharata, we see that among the Pandavas, the Bhima, his position was very special. They recognized and relied on the strength of Bhima. Whatever food they would get, they would divide it in two parts. One part, this is when they were in the forest after the fire at Vatavaranata, after the lakh house had been burned by Purochana. Then they were in the forest. Actually, it was not burned by Purochana, but he made the house. So, when they were in the forest, whatever food they would get, half would be taken by Bhima, and the rest would be taken by the four Pandavas plus Kunti. So they They were always confident of Bhima protecting them, and that Bhima was completely invincible. Now, from the very beginning, Bhim had superhuman strength. And just like there was rivalry between Arjuna and Karna, of course Karna came a little later, but from the very beginning, Bhima and Duryodhana, there was rivalry between them. And Duryodhana means with the other 99 Dhritarashtras, sons of Dhritarashtra. Sometimes the sons of Dhritarashtra, they would climb into a tree to collect the fruit. Another way of getting the fruit down is to, for Bhima, he would shake the tree so the fruit would come down. But he would wait till all the sons of Dhritarashtra were in the tree, then he'd shake it and they'd fall down along with the fruit. Along with the fruit. The sons of Dhritarashtra, they'd fall down. He shook them out of the tree. And Bhima would simply laugh. So Arjuna, he was famous as the best disciple of Dronacharya. He was assiduous in practice, especially in archery. So all the Kshatriyas, they could fight with different weapons. Now Arjuna, he, apart from fighting with bows, he could also fight with javelins, swords, clubs, and various other weapons. But Arjuna was famous for fighting with the bow. And Bhima was famous for fighting with the club. So Bhima, he didn't practice as assiduously as did Arjuna. He was naturally a skilled fighter. And apart from that, he was confident of his own strength. That even if there is someone who's very skilled in fighting, Bhima was confident that he could overcome them by his strength. Bhima was confident that even if he met some, even if he was to face a fighter who was very skillful in the use of arms, Bhima was confident that by his superior strength he would overcome them. So eventually he came to fight Duryodhana, who Duryodhana, even after studying under Drona, he took further lessons in club fighting from Balaram and became very skillful in club fighting. So that when Bhima and Duryodhan met in a duel, a club fighting duel, it wasn't clear who would win because Bhima was the strongest, but Duryodhana was very expert in technique. So while all the boys, that means the Kauravas and the Pandavas, they were studying in the Gurukul of Drona together. So among the other pranks that Bhima would play, he would catch the sons of Dhritarashtra and go underwater with them. And Bhima, he could hold his breath. He's Vayu, he can hold his breath as long as he likes. But he would only let the boys go until they're almost completely drowned. So, Duryodhana felt very insulted. And he's a wicked person. So he had Bhima's food poisoned. But Bhima's got a very strong digestion. For which purpose? Yeah, one famous name of Bhima is Vrikodara, which means he has a stomach like a wolf. In other words, he has a very strong digestion. Wolf. A wolf means you don't get. Well, it means. Yeah, I guess it means like a jackal actually, but a wolf. It's like a wild dog. Vrika. You say in Telugu, you have some word for that? So, Srila Prabhupada, he instructed his disciples that if you like, you can eat like Bhima. You can eat as much as Bhima. But then you have to do activities like Bhima also. He wasn't just eating and getting diabetes. But he was performing extraordinary activities. So when he ate the poisoned food, he simply burped and finished, digested. One time, Bhima, he was sleeping near the bank of a river. So the Kauravas, this is just when he was a young boy, and the Kauravas were young boys. So the Kauravas, they bound him up. And threw him in a pool which was full of poisonous snakes. So even though Bhima was tied up very tightly with very strong ropes, he simply broke them all.
అతను చాలా గట్టి తాడుతో కట్టేసాడని
And the snakes biting him didn't bother him at all. Another time, Duryodhana, he brought 8 very deadly snakes and dropped them on the chest of Bhima when Bhima was asleep. Ati Vishakta, but very heavy, very poisonous. So they went to bite him. You see the snake, I'm going to bite. But when they put their fangs on his chest, their fangs broke. And Bhima just went on sleeping. So Bhim, as he grew up, he gradually went around and he would fight different famous fighters. And even in Bhima was famous as a club fighter. He was also, another of his specialties was wrestling. So in Dwaraka, he wrestled with Balaram in the presence of Lord Krishna. And He learned spiritual knowledge from Krishna and from Vedavyas. Bhima never begged anything from anyone. He never wept in his life. He always walked upright. He never feared anyone. And he was ever dutiful to his elders. So I was saying that the Pandavas always depended on him to protect them. So actually, you see, the Yudhishthira, he went into exile, and then, first of all, they took a voluntary exile after the Lakh house was burned. And later they were exiled after the gambling match. But Bhima was never in favor of this policy of going away or hiding away. Many times he told Yudhishthira, look, you don't want to fight? Okay, just let me go and I'll finish them all off by myself. But Yudhishthira always restrained him. And out of respect for his elder brother, Bhima acceded to that. Actually, it was all Krishna's plan. To make just like a boil, when it becomes completely paka, full of pus, that is the right time to lance it. And then you get all the gunj out all at once. So eventually all the kings of the world were assembled at Kurukshetra. And Krishna killed them all by the agency of Bhima and Arjuna. And others also, but mostly by the great majority on the Kaurava side were killed by Bhima and Arjuna. And also, because the battle was delayed, well, you might think that someone who's angry, in course of time, their anger will decrease. But with Bhima, because of the long period in between, the long period that they had to wait before they went to battle, it was like at every moment he was thinking of Duryodhana and Dushasana and Shakuni, and he was, every moment his anger was just increasing, and even when he went to sleep he would dream about how he would kill them all. Bhima could not feel any peace of mind as long as those rascals were alive. It was very difficult for him to control himself that his wife had been insulted, and he has to tolerate that. He immediately wanted to kill all the Dhatarashtras. So there are so many pastimes of Bhima. When they fled the Lakh house and went incognito, then the other Pandavas and Kunti, they didn't have the strength to run. After running a short distance, they felt exhausted. Because, you know, they hadn't been sleeping for nights out of anxiety, and for various reasons they felt exhausted. And maybe dispirited also, discouraged that they had come to such a situation. But Bhima, he never felt discouraged. And his energy never decreased. So he just picked up the other Pandavas and his mother, and he went on running through the forest all night. So you can see, I mean, how powerful he is. That just gives some idea. So, while they were in the jungle, Hidimba, the Rakshasa Hidimba, thought that he would eat the Pandavas. But Bhima killed him. And accepted as his wife Hidimbi, the sister of Hidimba. And their son was born Ghatotkacha, who, anyway, that's another whole story. Ghatotkacha's actions is another whole episode. Bhima is also famous for killing Jarasandha. When they went all the way from Dwaraka to Magad, which is presently in Bihar state. Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima. And disguised as brahmanas, they begged a duel with Jarasandha. So Jarasandha, he said, I'm not going to fight with Krishna. He's a sinful person. He killed his own relatives. And Arjuna is just a boy. So he chose to fight with Bhima. And Bhima killed him after 1 month of fighting. Every day they'd fight all day. Eventually, Bhima just split him in two. At the Rajasuya Yajna, Shishupal blasphemed Krishna. It was actually a very, it was like a very diplomatic way to blaspheme Krishna, because if the Shishupal was trying to stir up a fight, because in the Yajna arena, if there was any blood spilled, that would render it unsuitable for holding the Yajna. And this way, Shishupal wanted to spoil everything. So Bhima was just ready to... You've seen in those cartoons like Tom and Jerry, they like flatten someone. They make them completely flat. So Bhima was ready to do that with Shishupal. Krishna restrained Bhima. And Krishna, because Shishupal was very confident that Krishna will do nothing to me. Because throughout his life, Shishupal had been blaspheming Krishna, but Krishna never retaliated. But this time Krishna retaliated and cut off Shishupal's head without spilling even a little drop of blood. At the Asat Sabha, or the gambling match, Duryodhana insultingly showed his thigh to Draupadi. And at that point, Bhima, he vowed to break the thigh of Duryodhana.
అప్పుడు భీముడు ఏమి ప్రతిజ్ఞ చేశాడంటే, నేను దుర్యోధను యొక్క ప్రణాళిని పూర్తిగా నలిపి నాశనం చేస్తాను.
When Duryodhana suggested that Sri Krishna could be put up as a wager in the gambling match, then Bhima swore that he would kick the head of Duryodhana. And because Dushasana had so badly insulted Draupadi, Bhima vowed that he would rip open the chest of Dushasana and drink the blood from his heart. When the Pandavas were going into exile after the gambling match, Bhima was seen to be raising his arms as they walked off to the forest. That indicated that by the strength of his arms he would destroy the wicked. Oh, there's an important episode which I have to go back to. When they were living incognito after the burning of the Lac House, they stayed in the place called Ekachakra. So there was one demon who lived in the forest outside the town. He was called Baka. And there was to stop him terrorizing the town, there was some arrangement that one family would send one member every month for this Rakshasa to eat, along with all other food. So Kunti and the Pandavas, pretending to be Brahmanas, they were lodged in the house of a Brahmana. One day when the Pandavas were out begging, Kunti heard that their hosts, the host family, were talking among themselves in a very distressed manner. And she came to know that this family, which consisted of Hamdo Hamare Do, mother, father, one son and one daughter, it was their turn to send one member of the family to be consumed by Baka. So Kunti interrupted and said, "You don't send anyone, I'll send one of my sons." And the family, they didn't want to accept this. But Kunti said that, "Well, you know, I have five sons and you only have one, so I can better spare one than you can." So So Kunti had the idea to send Bhim, knowing that no Rakshasa was going to eat Bhim. Bhim would kill the Rakshasa. So the family had to send one human being plus cartloads of food to that Rakshasa. So Bhima went along with the cartloads of food. And he simply sat on the carts and ate all the food. So when they arrived in front of Bakasura, the Baka saw, "Hey, what's going on? You ate all the food that was supposed to be eaten by me." So Bhima didn't bother responding to him. He just went on eating. Anyway, it was that was the end of Bakasura. To make a long story short. So later on in the forest, there was also Jatasura, who was the father of Baka, and Kirmira, who is the brother of Baka. On different occasions, these different Rakshasas were killed by Bhima. After 1 year in the forest, Bhima and Yudhishthira had a discussion about dharma. Because Bhima was just, we're supposed to be 13 years, we have another 12 years to go. Just forget it. I'll go and kill them all. And Bhim was especially afraid that Yudhishthira, who was very soft by nature, would forgive all the Kauravas. Bhima didn't want that they should be forgiven. So, Bhim, he took a vow to kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra. With the exception of, what was his name, Yuyutsu, who was, he was actually fighting on the Pandava side. He was the son of Dhritarashtra, but not the son of Gandhari. So one by one he was killing them all. Once Bhima, in a fight with Karna, he had the chance to kill Karna, but he left him alone. He said, "No, you will be killed by Arjuna." When Duryodhana saw Bhima just ravishing his forces, he asked Karna, "What to do? How can we stop Bhima?" But Karna, he said, "There's nothing you can do." Oh, there are so many activities. Even before we got to the battle, there were so many activities. How Bhim, he met Hanuman. He was wandering in the heavenly regions looking for some flowers for Draupadi. On a mountain path, he came across a monkey. And he was a very old monkey. So to observe the etiquette. Bhim didn't want to step over the tail of the monkey. So he said to the monkey, just move your tail so I can go past. The monkey said, I'm too old, I don't have any strength left in my body. I can't move my tail, you move it for me. So we were bent down, and he couldn't move the tail either. This Bhima, who would rip up big trees to fight with, who had the strength of 10,000 mad elephants, he couldn't move the tail of the monkey. Bhima said, who are you? That you have so much, you're saying you have no strength left, but you have so much strength in your tail that I can't even lift it. Then Hanuman revealed his identity. And Bhima, he asked to see the form of the mighty form of Hanuman expanded so huge that he had used in the assault on Lanka. That during the fight, Hanuman had expanded himself into a universal form, huge form, and Bhima asked to see that, and Hanuman showed that to Bhima. So, let's get back to, there's so many things. Let's get back to the battlefield. One time in the battle, Ashvatthama let forth one arrow called the Narayanastra. And there's no antidote for that weapon. So it was speeding at the Pandavas, but Narayan, Krishna, knew what to do. There's no weapon which can respond to quell the Narayanastra, but you can become free from that if you bow down. If you see, you won't be destroyed by Narayan if you don't try to oppose him. So you have to put your weapons aside and bow down, and then the Narayanastra will go over you, and then you won't have any problem. So Krishna, he told Arjuna and all the Pandavas, now this is what you have to do. You have to put your weapons aside, bow down. Then the Narayanastra won't harm you, otherwise you're finished. But Bhima wouldn't do it. He doesn't bow down to anyone. Except Krishna. So then that astra hit Bhima. And he was like burning.
Bhima started the astra.
And Krishna and Arjuna, they ran onto Bhima's chariot and pulled his weapons off and pulled him down, and then they asked, then the weapon went on and didn't harm him. So Bhima, he thought, even if I have to give up my, even if I have to die, I'm not going to bow down to someone's weapon. During the battle, Bhima, he came across Dushasana. Bhima was so happy. He said, "I've been waiting for this opportunity to face you in battle. I've been waiting for 13 years to do this." That every moment of my life for the last 13 years I've just been waiting for this moment. So Bhima slew Dushasana in battle. I mean, it wasn't that easy. Dushasana means difficult to control. He was a great fighter, no doubt, but Bhima slew him. And in accord with his promise, Bhima ripped open the chest of Dushasana. And in the presence of all the warriors, he drank the blood spurting from the chest of Dushasana. And Bhima was dancing round, laughing, like cackling like a madman. And the warriors, they couldn't believe it. They're fierce people, but they just couldn't. This was beyond their... They were just stunned, shocked. And Bhima said that this blood tastes to me sweeter than the nectar of heaven. It is sweeter than mother's milk. So like this. Although later he said that actually I didn't let it go beyond my lips, but I made that vow and I fulfilled the vow, but he didn't actually drink it. So, of course, Bhima eventually killed Duryodhana. And that was the end of the war. Duryodhana was hiding underwater in a lake. Bhima called him out for a battle. And he challenged him to a battle. And Bhima said that if you defeat me, you take back the kingdom. But of course, Bhima defeated Duryodhana with Krishna's help. Because at one point, Gandhari came on to the battlefield. And she wanted to give some special protection to Duryodhana. Now, she'd covered her eyes since before the time of her wedding. So she told Duryodhana, "You come and see me tomorrow morning completely naked." Now the next morning, Krishna went to see Gandhari to offer his respects to her. And when he was coming away from Gandhari's tent, he saw Duryodhana completely naked. Krishna said, "What's going on, Duryodhana? You're going around naked like a completely uncivilized person." And Duryodhana said, "Well, my mother told me to come and see her naked." And Krishna said, "You can't go naked before your mother. At least cover your private parts with a loincloth." So Duryodhana did that. Then Duryodhana came into the presence of Gandhari. And Gandhari said, "So Duryodhana is here now?"
Yes.
So she removed the cover on her eye and she looked at him. And by her glance, filled with mystic potency of the power that she got from her vow of fidelity to her husband, that his whole body became hard just like steel and nothing could do any harm to his body. But she saw that part of his body is covered with a cloth. So she said, "Why? I told you to come naked. Why are you covered with a cloth?" And Duryodhana said, "Well, you know, I met Krishna and this, and he told me you should wear at least a loincloth." So that part which was covered by a cloth didn't get the mystic power from Gandhari. And she realized this is all Krishna's doing. That you can't get past Krishna. So, when Bhima was fighting Duryodhana in the club fight, Bhima could not overcome Duryodhana. And they were both fighting. I mean, they were really angry. They hated each other. Their enmity, from which from childhood had been cultivated, was now at its zenith. The insults that they traded with each other. And Bhima remembering the wrongdoing that Duryodhana had done. And Duryodhana just with plain envy of the Pandavas. And both of them remembering the events of the last 18 days in which all their friends and supporters had been killed. Duryodhana was remembering how his great friend Karna had been slain by Arjuna. So with tremendous anger they were fighting each other, but neither could overcome each other. Then Krishna caught Bhima's attention and Krishna slapped his own thigh. Reminding Bhima of the insult that Duryodhana had made to Draupadi by showing to her his own thigh. And reminding Bhima that he had said that he would break Duryodhana's thigh. Now, even just like in boxing today, according to the standard rules, you're allowed to box, but only above the waist, not below. You don't strike below the waist. So a trained boxer, he'll be fighting and he'll keep his arms up to defend himself, but he won't bother to defend the lower part of his body because that's the other fighter is not going to strike that anyway. So the same thing in club fighting, you're not allowed to strike below the waist. So Duryodhana, he wasn't trying to protect his below his waist because no one strikes below the waist. So Bhim raised his club and gave a mighty smash on the thigh of Duryodhana, that part which had not been covered, which had been covered by the cloth and which was not protected by Gandhari's mystic potency. And Duryodhana crashed to the ground with his thigh broken. And Bhima kicked his head repeatedly. When Duryodhana, the king, was now helpless, and Bhima kicked his head again and again, which no one approved of, but Bhima had promised to do it, and he did it. So Bhima, according to his promise, he killed all 100 sons of Gandhari. So after the battle, Dhritarashtra, he proposed to embrace Bhima. Now, of course, Dhritarashtra was blind. So Krishna told Bhima, you put one, don't go to be embraced by him. You put one rock one stone statue instead. And Dhritarashtra, he was so strong, by embracing that, he completely crushed it to rubble. He had wanted to crush Bhima to death. So Krishna protected the Pandavas. So, Bhima, he was acting as an agent of Krishna in destroying the sinful people. But ultimately Krishna was protecting them all. Alright, I'll finish there. So let us pray to Bhimasen, who is full of such great strength and enthusiasm to serve the Lord and His devotees. Let us pray for the strength and enthusiasm to practice and preach Krishna consciousness in this demoniac age of Kali. Jai Shri Bhima Sena Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. So all the Gurukul boys are going to tell all these stories. They're all, they can learn all these stories. And keep them always, they'll always want to go to school if you have Ramayana and Mahabharata stories. Nowadays people, they think Sachin Tendulkar is some great person. It's just not even a speck of dust compared to Bhima. Hare Krishna. All right, we'll finish there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.